Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So now he's giving us relevant statements, I mean relevant quotes for this particular verse. All transcendental potency is invested within the holy name. In the Skanda Purana it is stated, the potency to destroy sin, the all-auspicious potency, the potencies residing in pious acts of charity, vows, penances, etc., the potencies of all the places of pilgrimage, the potencies in the Ashrameda and Rajasuya Yajnas, the potency in knowledge of the Absolute. These potencies have been assembled together by the Supreme Lord Hari and channeled into his holy name, making it all-powerful. So here when the element of all-powerful is being mentioned, then we can see is that doesn't just simply mean the element of strength, but it means the whatever other activity could ever be performed that's considered good, all that is in the holy name. Because and good activities we consider as powerfully. Through austerity, everything is obtained. So then, through the chanting of the holy name, whatever benefits one would get from any other kind of activity, then that is gained from the chanting of the holy name. Right, so this all transcendental potencies are invested within the holy name. Okay. Oh, I see. He's taking it apart. Nija sarva shaktis tatar pita. That's all transcendental potencies. So then this is then from Skanda Puran. Then niyamitasmarane nakalaha. There's no fixed time or rule for remembering the Lord. From the Vaishnava Samhita. Quote, there is no fixed times or consideration of cleanliness and uncleanliness regarding the chanting of the holy name. Simply the repeated utterance of Rama. Rama is enough to liberate the jiva from this material bondage. So it's very important that the holy name is not bound by anything. That means the holy name is free, not us. Right? Oh, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules. No. Why could we say that? Because the name is not bound by the rules. It doesn't mean that we aren't. Right? Liberated soul is not bound by rules, but the conditioned soul is. So you have to remember it's the name that is free. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, we can do whatever we want, but no one else can do anything that they want. That's all very, very strict. Understand? That goes together. The person that says, oh, it doesn't matter, we just chant. I mean, now again, you get somebody very pure, very at heart and all that. Then, you know, whatever they do, anyone else doesn't bother them. But much of the time you see is that those who say, oh, we don't care for the rules, it's simply pragmatism. But they apply the rules very strictly to everybody else. Right? And in that, also to the holy name. Right? Because they restrict the holy name. He's not all-powerful, because if someone does anything else other than what pleases that individual, then they have to get purified by some other mundane activity. Does that make sense? So this is when to understand when the name is all-powerful means he is supremely independent. All benefits of any other kind of activity given in the Shastras is gained from chanting the holy name. Therefore, in its supreme position, it doesn't matter what condition you're in, you can always chant. Does that make sense? Okay. Durdaiva mi dirisham ihajani na anuragaha. As unfortunate as I am, I have no taste. Srimad Bhagavatam 393 states, O my Lord, persons who are bereft of the all auspicious performances of chanting and hearing about your transcendental activities are certainly unfortunate and are also bereft of good sense. They engage in inauspicious activities, enjoying sense gratification for a very little while. Yeah, so basically it's if one is not chanting, then one will be absorbed in other things, right? Because in this age, it's not that people are absorbed in great yajnas and this and that, great pious activity. So one's either basically chanting or, you know, not doing something so important. Okay, so then that concludes the second verse of the Shikshastakam. Right, so in other words, the living entity means the name is all benefit. Everything that you ever want, you can get from the holy name. The living entity not being so attracted like that is distracted by other things other than the chanting of the holy name. And therefore, he needs to be intelligent and contemplate what are those things that distract him. You know, understand what they are, try to get to the detail of it, and in this way try to consciously not be involved in those kind of activities. Right? Does that make sense? So in that way, then that will bring one to the proper chanting of the holy name. And that chanting will bring one to the pure name. Right? So offenseless chanting will bring one to chanting the pure name. Right? And that, then, all benefit will come. Does that make sense? Yes.
What is meant by isolating the
offense? Isolating the offense means you know that there's a general category, so isolating means then you figure out exactly what it is. What's the real problem? You know what I'm saying? You know, he gave an example of... it depends. You can take it at different levels. One is very attached to the family. Okay, and because of that, then one is distracted, one is not chanting. So, being attached to others, having relationships, that's not actually the problem. Right? So the general problem is, okay, I'm attached to my family. And because of that, I'm not engaging myself, you know, in a nice balanced way in, you know, chanting and other services. Okay? So that means you've recognized the problem. Isolate the problem here then would mean now exactly what's the problem in that. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you understand, okay, there's a problem with my car. You know, so it doesn't run. Okay, but now exactly what's the problem? Because only when you know exactly can you fix it. Then you have to look at it and see, okay, now in this attachment to the family, what is actually the distraction? Right? So one is attached to the family, so that one has relationships, that's fine. But there's attachment, that's not really the problem, right? The problem is that this particular, you know, dead matter that you call your family, you think that that is the source of your shelter and happiness and support and emotional and sensual pleasure. When it's not, the dead matter is not actually giving you anything, right? It's the potencies within that gives. So that means it's actually Krishna is arranging that. So the real problem is we're not seeing Krishna in our attachment. You know what I'm saying? So then you can because by doing that, because otherwise I'm attached to my family, okay, you try to give up the attachment to the family, just on its own. But the point is when you go back to the spiritual world, there will be families and you will be attached. Right? Because they're all devotees. You won't be attached to your specific, family relationship, you know, husband, wife, this, that kind of thing. It'll be to the particular residence of Braja that you perform your service with. Does that make sense? That's your family. Okay? So that concept's not a problem. They do have families. The concept of being attached to sad, that's there in the spiritual world. But in the spiritual world, everything is connected to Krishna. And if it's not connected to Krishna, what's the meaning? What's the use? Right? Does that make sense? So in the beginning, one may say, okay, attached to the family, it's general, so then one will try to restrict that, but then one might not interact nicely with them, etiquette may be broken, people are dissatisfied, you're dissatisfied because you're in the family life, because that's what you're attracted to or attached to. So the tendency is it'll make the heart hard. Right? Because one is not actually identifying the real problem. The problem is not the family. Next door, there's also a family. But that family is not a problem for you. So the concept of family isn't really the problem. The concept is that you're attached to this family. Because the other families you're not attached to. You know what I'm saying? And in that attachment, you're not seeing Krishna. Right? If one's seeing Krishna in it, then it will bring you to the point of liberation. It won't give you love of God. You know what I'm saying? Proper interaction with your family from the platform of Naishkarmya, that will give you liberation. It'll never give you love of God. Right? Chanting the holy name, serving the Vaishnavas, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the deity, living in the Dham, that will give you prema. You know what I'm saying? But you cultivate both at once, because the distraction to the pure chanting is because of the family. Right? So therefore, then you're cultivating that in connection with Krishna, so you're freeing yourself from those attachments and from the material consideration. And on the other side, one is concentrating on sadhana and other aspects of the hearing and chanting. And in this way, then, developing one's attraction and attachment to Krishna. Right? So the one side, you're trying to redirect that attachment. And on this side, you're trying to develop your attachment to Krishna. Right? So you're trying to redirect the material to the spiritual, to Krishna. And the spiritual, you're trying to cultivate that. So on both sides, it's connected to Krishna. That's why it's always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So the common point is Krishna. Right? So, does that make sense? There, they don't have to worry about that, because that's a Brahman understanding. All they know is that they just think about Krishna. You don't need jnana. On the platform of prema, jnana is not necessary. Right? Because jnana is there to point out who you actually are. Sambandha jnana is there that we understand I'm not God, I'm servant of God, and Krishna's God. That's why Sambandha jnana is there. But in rasa, that's not the kind of knowledge that's important.
They have one kind of quote-unquote like loving relationship among each other. Like.
Yeah, that's there. Because they're all serving Krishna. So there's a common cause. So therefore, then they will all be pleased. Is that okay? Is that a problem? Or?
No.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's for us. It's not the name is not bound by that. You know what I'm saying? The name's independent. We're the one that has the problem. Does that make sense? That was the point we were making. Is who's committing the 10 offenses? The holy name? No. So the name's always pure. And the name can be chanted under any time, place, and circumstance. The difficulty is that we, in chanting, will commit offense. You know what I'm saying? See, is you have to understand here when it's saying no rule, technically it does mean no rule, but you have to understand the context. Does that make sense? Now, let us say you're doing, you know, some ritualistic activity. Okay? So you'll have had to have taken your bath. Right? You'll have to have made sure that you didn't get contaminated after you take your bath. It means you didn't sit down on your bed again, you didn't brush into anything that was dirty. You know what I'm saying? You know, these kind of things. You're not going to get dressed and then go into the bathroom and do all your makeup and this and that. You're going to have to do it somewhere else. Right? You know, then you're going to have to get to the temple without touching anything, you know, that shouldn't be touched and all that. You get there, then you have to wash your hands, mouth, and feet. Then you have to perform achman, right? You have to perform purify the subtle body. Then you're going to, okay, now that you've purified yourself, that's nice, but then that's with achman. Then you have to bring it to a new transcendental platform. So then you'll use the samanya argyas. Does that make sense? You know, then for the deities, then you'd use the visesha argus, the special argus, like that. It means you can't touch your body while you're doing the puja. You do. You have to wash your hands. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So all these different things you have to be very, very careful of. That's rules. Because only if you're in that state can then you worship the deity. You know what I'm saying? So you can chant wherever you are, whatever your condition. That's what's meant by it. We have to understand the context. You know what I'm saying? No rules doesn't mean that there's not no considerations. It means anyone can chant anywhere, everything, but if you want better benefit, yes, you got to avoid the offenses. Why do you have to avoid the offenses? It's not because it's a rule of cleanliness or something of knowledge. It's a matter of the holy name doesn't like it. You want a relationship with him, you have to do what he likes. You know what I'm saying? You have your friend, and you want to be good friends with your friend. But at the same time is, let us say, that friend's, relative, you're very nasty with. Now, is your friend going to like that? No. Okay. You consider your friend, just same, like just some ordinary, very ordinary person, even though they're in a very special position. Will they appreciate that? No. Okay. The person that is the friend of your friend and who you became connected to that friend through, you know what I'm saying? You had somebody you knew, they introduced you to this friend, and you like, and you want to be friendly here, but now you speak badly about the person who introduced you. Will your friend be happy? No. Okay. The basis of your friend's life, his whole sadhana, what he values in his life, and everything like that, that is there in the form of authority, you don't agree with. Will he be happy? No. Okay. So, let's say you yourself make some idea of who the friend is. You just make it up. Then you're telling others, who they are and that. It has nothing to do with that. Would they be happy? No. Okay. Would they be happy considering that the interaction with them would be considered the same as, interaction like taking out the garbage or something? Right? How about you're sitting with your friend and you're having a conversation but you're not paying any attention at all? Would that make the relationship work? No. Okay. Now let us say you're with the friend, but you're always thinking, oh no, what about that? Did I leave the oven on? Oh no, did I lock the door? Oh no, did I have to do that? And then is it going to be a great relationship? No. So that's the 10 offenses. Means the holy name is right there and you're thinking of something else.
Personal.
So that's what that's what is the offenses to the holy name. It's not rules, it's relationship. All rules ultimately for a relationship, but because we don't understand relationship, therefore, we have to have rules, and then we think, if you don't do this, there'll be problem. Right? But actually, the point is we don't do this because it doesn't make the other person happy. Does that make sense? Okay. That makes sense.
Statement that if you simply utter Ram Ram, you'll get liberated.
Yes, it's constantly.
Repeated utterance.
Yeah, repeated. So that means it's quite regular there. So in other words, just that continual chanting of the holy name, it will free you from all material contamination.
But it won't give you
prema, no. Prema means it has to be, inoffensive chanting like that. It has to be with the purpose of trying to develop that love. It's like if you have it trying to develop a relationship with a person, it has to be you're trying to do that. If you're just interacting with them just to interact with them, then it doesn't develop any affection. The whole thing is very, very personal. But the problem is we're not so inclined to that. Having been in the material world a long time, then it's like this. If we consider we're God, then how do you You know what I'm saying? It's just like you bump into a person on the street, you know, seems like a nice guy, but he claims he's Napoleon Bonaparte, right? How do you actually have a deep relationship with him? Right? So the problem is not yourself, the problem is the other person is crazy. So that's the problem. The holy name isn't having a problem. Right? He is who he is. We're the ones that are crazy. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole, you know. Okay. Something more.
From yesterday, can I
ask? It means, but on this class.
Yes. I think not from the
afternoon. Oh, okay. So then let's deal with that then. Okay, anything else on this?
Yesterday I also mentioned the three levels of chanting. How there's the pure name and then the impure name in those two stages. Can you again explain those two stages when the name's impure?
Name's not impure.
Yeah,
our chanting of the name is pure.
Yeah.
The name's always pure. But the point is means you have the element of rasa. Rasa means there's ashray, there's vishay, right? So depending upon the mood of the ashray, then the vishay then will deal. Does that make sense? That's just the principle of relationship. So then, if you're chanting in the offensive stage, or in just in namabhas, means you're not paying that much attention. Therefore, we as the ashray, you know, of the holy name, then the holy name as the vishay will respond to us in that mood. You know what I'm saying? How will he manifest all his nice qualities if we're not there to respond to that? Like one of our ISKCON artists, he had painted this picture of Krishna really decked out, you know? All the ornaments, everything, really looking bright and, you know, looking good. Right, kind of like in the middle of the forest. There's a couple of cowherd boys there bouncing off the walls or something, and a cow over in the corner. And then they showed it to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada asked the artist, what pastime is this? You know. And he says, no, I just thought it would look nice. He says, don't make things up. Because Krishna dressed like that with that much energy, that only happens when the gopis are there, not when cowherd boys are there. You don't dress up like that for the cowherd boys, right? You know, they just, because they're going to go out and play and kick around and stuff. Does that make sense? And he's not like he's interacting with them. He's just there, you know, looking cool, right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that Krishna is going to respond according to how you deal with him. So if you deal with him with not great attention or affection, then he'll respond, he's there, but it won't have that depth of rasa. Does that make sense? So when you come to the pure name, then you're dealing with him according to your level of development, then he'll be responding. That makes sense. But before that, then it'll be more, less. I mean, it'll be, yes, it'll be, he'll respond less because we're not wanting it, actually. You know what I'm saying? It probably gives the story of the old lady who would go into the forest and collect firewood, right? So she collected this big bundle, huge bundle, and just barely got on her head. She's walking with it, and somehow or another falls off her head. And she can't get it back on her head. So she starts crying and calling out to Krishna. But it was so sincere that Krishna appeared there and said, you called, what can I do for you? He says, Krishna, please put this bundle back on my head. I can't pick it up. So then Krishna obliged, he put it on her head, and then disappeared. Right? And then she started crying again. understanding that Krishna was there, I could have asked him for, you know, pure love of God. That I just asked him to put this, you know, the bundle of my material existence back on my head. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is the holy name is there, but we're not really recognizing that. We're busy doing something else. So therefore, how much can you respond?
But often their mind is just so subtle that the control of the mind that we don't even recognize it, and the control is very
good. That's why he says you must contemplate it. You know, the process of anartha nivritti is basically recognizing what's there and making a commitment to correct the situation. Right? So that's why the whole process of education is you hear, then you contemplate. You know what I'm saying? Just hearing is only one stage of education. Unless you contemplate that knowledge and try to practically apply it, then it doesn't go to this next stage of learning. And only by that practice, then it will take you to the third stage of learning, which is realization. You know what I'm saying? So just hearing it in the class, noting it down, being able to repeat it back, that's the first stage. That's important. It's good. But education should go beyond that. Does that make sense?
Concerning Nama
Bas,
to the degree we are chanting Nama
Bas,
we chanting less Nama
Bas.
Is that correct? Is that how it works?
Nama Bas includes Nama Parad. But in other words, Nama Bas can be chanted in the stage of Nama Parad or in the stage of clearing, where we're not chanting with offenses. Does that make sense? Were you at class yesterday?
Yeah, but I have a misconception about that.
What's the misconception?
Yeah, I can't get my head around the whole thing yet.
What is it that you can't get it around?
I can't fully understand it. I don't know.
No, but you have to be able to identify what it is you're not understanding.
I always thought that the difference between Nama Bas and Nama Parad is that one who chants Nama Bas, he's trying to avoid offenses.
No, Nama Bas simply means the holy name that's not in the pure stage of chanting. You have pure chanting, and you have Nama Bas. Right? Now, Abbas means just like this now. Is this technically daylight?
Yeah.
It is. Is the sun up? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then let's go back half an hour. It was light?
No.
Let's go back 15 minutes. Was it light? Okay, let's try a different approach. Now, before the sun comes up, is it light? Okay, so that light, that's Nama Bas. When the sun comes up and you can see it, that's Shuddhanam. You understand? So that's the point. Nama Bas is the Sunday or the twilight between not chanting and Shuddhanam. Right, so in other words, what's in between the two? So the Lord, we are able to chant even if we don't really have any qualification or understanding. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does the head bend around that now? Okay,
better.
Yes.
When Maharaj, when you speak about constant chanting of the holy name, within ISKCON we chant 16 rounds a day. And at Jirachara Prabhupada's time, the devotees would go on Harinam for 3, 6, 9 hours a day.
So try 12.
So they were more or less associated with the holy name constantly. But now, because most of the congregation lives outside, it's very difficult to associate the holy name with so much anymore. So how do we develop?
Why is it so difficult?
If we're working, for example.
If you're working, how many hours a day are you working?
10.
Okay, so what are you doing with the other 14?
8 hours sleeping or something, and the rest 6 hours eating.
Eating. Okay. You're Gujarati or something? That's right. No, only Gujaratis have down constant eating of holy chaat. Like that. So you wouldn't see any time in all those things where you could be chanting the holy name.
I mean, I chant 16 rounds.
We understand you chant 16 rounds. But there's no other time when you could be chanting. Like you work out of your house. Okay. So, I say, to put, like, let's say you're taking a shower. You know, can you chant during that time? Okay. So when you're putting on your clothes, can you chant? Okay, so like that, you can find so many times when you can be chanting. Does that make sense? Yeah? Is that okay? Okay. Something else? Yes?
Is it necessary that for contemplation you set aside a certain amount of time?
Set aside time for contemplation. Quality contemplation time. Okay, let us say, when do you set a time, do you have a time set aside to contemplate about those who are, you know, intimately connected to you in, you know, a relationship? No. Does it go on? You guess so, okay. We won't tell anybody that, otherwise you get in trouble. Okay, so basically speaking, it's, you don't need technically a time set aside, isn't it? So the whole point is whatever you're doing, you can contemplate. That's the point. If you really want to think about something, you really want to think about something, then you might find that, you know, getting away, getting to something where there's no other distractions might help. That's there. If you can arrange that regularly and you can think, then nice. But the point is, contemplation can happen anytime. Does that make sense? Like that. You know, some of the best times are when you're taking a bath or in the toilet or something, because somehow or another, the nature of it is such that all other things aren't thought about because you're focusing so much on the, you know, just what you're doing there, that the mind is just clear. And then sometimes, you know, that makes sense. What is it? Who is that guy? The Eureka guy, right?
Archimedes.
Archimedes. So he was taking his bath, right? So it's quite common. That makes sense. So the point is any time you can do this. You know, whenever there's a gap, then you can think. So if something's important, then you'll be thinking about it. Does that make sense? Like that. So it's just that you have to get this one to be, you know, get that balance that this one's a touch more important. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Yes.
Sometimes the best time for contemplation is the time when you are chanting the holy name. So, what? So, like, happens to me that when I'm chanting, then I can think very nicely everything. Just, I can learn everything very nicely. And then, but then you don't get to focus on the holy name so much. And then there is a thought that you have to be really fixed on chanting on the holy name to actually not commit any offenses.
Mm-hmm. So. And so, could you do that?
Yeah. Can you contemplate?
No, but I'm saying, can you do that?
Yeah, I can do. I can contemplate very nicely during my japa time.
No, you can contemplate very nicely during the japa. What I'm saying is, could you just only concentrate on hearing in the name and concentrating on the name during your japa?
Yeah, it means it's a mix of both of them.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, could you do the concentrating on the holy name the whole 16 rounds without one distraction? Could you do that? No. So that, how much you can do that, and then how much that's not doing that, then you contemplate the philosophy or devotional service or those kind of things, because then it's connected to Krishna, you know, better than, you know, your old grandma in, you know, Santiago or whatever, you know, like that kind of a thing, you know what I'm saying? So then, you know, you're busy doing like that. Does that make sense? Yes. Depends on who's in charge. You know, so who's in charge now? Okay, so then, you know, then it's going to be what the mind feels is important. So your Pooh Bear or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, gives you shelter, you know, so like that. So that's why then the sadhana is there, which is based on applying the intelligence to our situation. Right, that's why the regulation, the practice, and all those things like that. So the point is what's most important to you, that's what you're going to remember. Right, so Krishna's the most important, then you'll remember him. You know what I'm saying? You just have to be able to make distinctions that, you know, there's the spiritual, there's the material. The material may give some support and all that, but ultimately, it's temporary. It's not actually going to give you support. Everything's going to fall away. Everything's going to disappear, you know, like that. Therefore, taking shelter of Krishna is the most important thing we can do for our own security. Does that make sense? Like that. So, in that way, then that's why then we cultivate through the sadhana and contemplation and all this, that Krishna is the most important. Krishna is what actually makes everything work. That's why then you practice that all the things that are important to you, that you value, that are your attachments, you see that actually the working principle in it is Krishna. Because then even your attachments, you can connect to Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay. Shloka 3. Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Trinadapi, then downtrodden grass, sunichena, being lower, taro, then a tree, iva, like, sahishnuna, with tolerance. Amanina, without being puffed up by false pride. Manadena, giving respect to all. Kirtaniya, to be chanted. Sada, always, Hari, the holy name of the Lord. Translation. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So here's the answer to, you know, how to practically be absorbed and all that. Sadmodana Bhasya. The devotee who chants the name offenselessly is adorned by four very special qualities. These are a natural meekness and humility because of total detachment from matter. 2, pure compassion, unencumbered by envy. 3, a spotless heart free from mundane false prestige. And 4, a proper respectful attitude towards everyone. When the holy name, the full embodiment of the transcendental rasas, appears in the sadhaka's heart, his attitude of mind is transformed. He thinks, I am constitutionally an infinitesimal eternal servitor of Lord Krishna. I have no real need for materialism. But alas, because of my estrangement from Krishna's lotus feet, I find myself in my present predicament. Being bound by the grinding wheel of repeated birth and death, I am suffering untold miseries. Okay. So this meekness and humility come, compassion, heart free from false prestige, and proper respect towards others. So these come for one who chants offenselessly. Right? It doesn't necessarily say the Shuddhanam, but offenselessly. The sadhaka meekly embraces yukta vairagya. Notice the word meekly used here, not with attitude. Quote, now by the grace of my spiritual master and the Vaishnavas, I have come to realize that only by devotional service to the Supreme Lord can I find release from the distress of material existence, be reinstated in my constitutional position, regain my spiritual identity, and attain love of God. Right, so there's the complete philosophy is there. It's by the grace of the spiritual master and devotees, then it's only by devotional service, that's your abhideya, then I will be released from the distress of material existence. That's our position of existence. So it goes from the temporary to the eternal. Be reinstated in my constitutional position, the natural relationship you have with Krishna is reestablished. Regain the spiritual identity, that then one can act within that and attain love of God, prayojana. Right? So all the aspects of sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana have been put in place by the grace of the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. Right? So then he's able to chant offenselessly, and the holy name appearing within the heart, then he starts to think like this. Thinking like this means it's realization. Right? Knowledge is that we have it. Realization is... We live it, right? So he's now bringing out the element of now the devotee is living on this platform, but the humility is the strong point. We see that it's always being shown as my position. I don't need the material. I need Krishna, but I'm here in this material world, right? But I don't need it. So I'm moving. I'm being progressive, right? Does that make sense? So we're getting into the attitude. So this is the attitude of devotional service. This will be considered within this. I think it will come up later. Is that this is then the state of means. The first one is just establishing oneself in the devotional process. It's an overview of the whole thing. But it establishes one in the faith and in Samkirtana, which means Sadhu Sangha. Right? And following the devotional process. So then, the second verse will establish one in the principle of anartha nivritti, right? That one is understanding that I don't have this taste. Why? Because of my attachments, giving that up, coming to this platform of proper chanting, offenseless chanting. Then the shloka 3 is the attitude by which the devotee is chanting and performing his service, this situates himself in nishta. Right? So the person in this platform is steady. But we can notice that what it is that this combination of these four, of being humble, tolerant, always willing to give respect to others, not expecting any respect back. From this humility and tolerance, we see also then comes a non-envious compassion. You know what I'm saying? Because people have compassion, but underlying there's the element of envy. Not necessarily of the persons that are, that you are benefiting, but the element that envy is in the position of sambandha, which means it has to do with your identity. So you think, I am Sridam Sarva Bhutanam, right? I am the friend of all living entities. No, Krishna is the friend of all living entities. Right, so there's still that envious attitude that I'm very pious, I'm very religious, I'm very good. Right? Does that make sense? It's like this. If you do charity, let's say in New York City, right? How much, and you take care of some people, feed some people. It's got your general thing. Open a school there. How much reciprocation will you get? Very little. Now let us say we go over to Africa and go into some village and the people are dying of starvation. You bring some food. How much reciprocation will you get? So much more. So there's people very committed to these kind of things. Much of the time you'll see they'll do that because of that reciprocation. You know, they do something for a school, then when they go and visit on some special occasions, you know, or once a year like that, then all the kids will all say, you know, thank you, mister, whatever it is, like that. And so, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then it makes it, because the principle is, I am special because I am doing this. Right? But this attitude that's being discussed here in this verse means that that compassion is free from that need of recognition. Right? So when there's who does not expect personal honor, then means one is able to be compassionate. You know, he's humble, tolerant, doesn't expect any honor. Then his performance of duties, then his preaching can actually have the full element of compassion. Does that make sense? That's always a very important element. Okay. So,
why does preaching without envy have a higher effect in terms of compassion?
Why would preaching without envy? Here in this context, we're explaining it is that if you understand, I'm servant of Krishna, I'm not the controller and enjoyer. Wouldn't that give you some benefit?
In terms of increasing your compassion.
The thing is if I'm doing something for others' benefit, but at the same time I'm trying to get some benefit myself, wouldn't the other person be benefited more if you're only trying to benefit them? You know what I'm saying? Doesn't make sense. Let us say you're having a lunch with somebody, okay? And so in it, you're trying to do something nice for them, but at the same time, you're looking after number one also, okay? So how much will you take care of them? Now let us say you're having this lunch, and all you care about is just seeing that the other person is satisfied and happy. You're not worried about your... So which of the two will be better?
The latter.
Yes, so then...
We often hear that we are trying to please Krishna, and to please Krishna, we help others.
Yes.
But it's not that we are compassionate towards others or.
That's mundane compassion. Means it's we understand it's connected to Krishna, but you're taking that, but still, the element that you're still not seeing yourself fully as Krishna's servant, or you're still trying to get some benefit from the others. That's going to reduce the quality of it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Don't separate Krishna and his creation too much, because he's non-dual. It's not that we're just trying to please Krishna and actually the living entities are a bunch of useless no-goods, but because Krishna somehow or another finds them cute or something, I can't figure out why, so therefore I gotta, you know, follow the etiquette and be nice with them. But in reality, it's not actually the important thing, because it's only Krishna's important, but Krishna always exists in four states, that of himself, his original form, his internal potency, the marginal potency, and the external potency. It's him. The point is relating the living entities without Krishna, then that's useless, because they are connected with Krishna. That's why it's said you relate to them in connection with Krishna, because that's the reality. Right? Not that it's a disturbance on the side. Okay. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.
Is it?